Season's greetings, flesh wound freaks. I am Daniel Shine, joined by the Predator, Todd Loya.
What's up?
Pugs Dread.
Namaste.
And Mike Krugar.
Ho, 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 bitch.
So we're here to celebrate the 12 Days of Slashmas Part 2. Very excited. And, Kroger, whoever you are, let them know what it's all about. It's
Snooplex time.
All right, so what we do for our 12 Days of Slashmas special is rate and review a Christmas-themed horror film, and since this is our first episode of our second annual Slashmas, we will be reviewing four movies to kick it off tonight. Then at the end of the episode, we will choose one film to eliminate, leaving us with three Christmas horror films, aka our three final elves. And then every episode after this, we'll put a new movie up against those final elves, eliminating one film each episode until we are through 12 days. So, Todd, why don't you tell us what our final girls from last year were and what we have up for contention tonight?
All right. Last year, kind of had a, remember, controversial ending last year. And speaking of which, we had our last three from last year were Don't Open Till Christmas, Christmas Evil, and of course, the newest entry, Christmas Cruelty. So,
best Christmas horror movie of all time.
Well, it was up against some heavy hitters. It did make the final three, but in the end, Christmas Evil got the nod.
I understand, but we know where my heart lies.
We do. And you did vote for Christmas Cruelty. So it was a hard year.
I wave that flag proudly.
Now, we do want to say right off the bat, this year, if you notice, we said Christmas horror movies. So we're opening it up because there's only so many Christmas slashers. So now we're opening the gate. So
I think we would have had to dug in the toilet at this point to get.
Dude, we were already in the fucking toilet last season. Like,
are you saying you did like blood? What was it?
Bikini Bloodbath Christmas
is one of the worst movies I've ever fucking seen.
Oh, it's like the
Mount of the best lines I've ever heard, though. Something about sucking dick. Tell it to God. That part was hilarious. Everything else is whacked.
Yeah, Dan, you need to pick us one of those for this year.
No, we did not.
I want to watch it again now.
Oh, Jesus.
Please.
I'm Mount Rushmore. You got John McClane, and then you got Bikini Bloodbath Christmas.
Oh, okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay. And you know what? Lethal Weapon over Die Hard. But, okay. So, for Slashmas this year, our first four up are Anna and the Apocalypse, A Christmas Horror Story, Iced, and A Cadaver Christmas. So, first up, you got Anna and the Apocalypse. Dan, why don't you tell us about it?
Absolutely.
You better sing this shit, Dan.
Oh, please. Ooh.
I tried to sing, I think, on this show a couple times, and it didn't work. So we'll see. Maybe you'll get it. Not yet, though. So Anna and the Apocalypse is a 2017 film from director John McPhail. And in this one, a zombie apocalypse threatens the sleepy town of Little Haven at Christmas, forcing Anna and her friends to fight, slash, and sing their way to survival, facing the undead in a desperate race to reach their loved ones. But they soon discover that no one is safe in this new world and in which civilization is falling apart around them. And the only people they can truly rely on is each other. All right, so
I want to give a shout out to that quote that Shaun the Dead meets La La Land. Bravo.
Makes sense.
How many movies could use that quote?
So I saw this one in the theater.
Hashtag me too.
I was going to say
that.
A lot of people didn't, but I was fortunate enough to see it in the theater. So this is a musical, and it's not just like a couple dance numbers or anything. I mean, it is a full-on musical. And the thing with musicals is you have to be into the music. Not a popular opinion, but like in my case, I've never been a huge fan of the Paradise fan. And I know that movie is super popular, but the music just never hit me personally.
I'm gonna I'm going to disagree with that, Dan, and we'll get to that when I come
talk. All right, cool, cool. So
rocks.
I don't hate it. I just it's never been top tier because there's not enough music that I like in
the carburetors, man.
Yeah, I'm just talking the music part, not Phantom of the Paradise, because that one.
Yeah,
yeah, thumbs up. But I don't. You know what? Your musical taste, Pugs, is like out for me. So.
Yeah, you we're hate Little Shop of Horrors. I know why.
I didn't say I hate Little Shop.
He saw you your letterbox rating.
Yeah. 2.5? That's fine.
That's insulting.
But okay, Dan, I don't.
Well, Anna and the Apocalypse. I gotta say, at the end of this movie, when I saw it, I was humming multiple tunes from it. So I actually like this one quite a bit. I think that the lead, Ella Hunt, who plays Anna Shepherd,
I'm glad she's of age. Oh my god.
I get like at some point she's gonna get a big role and be a name. I think she can do it. I liked all the characters. I thought the principal was a really good villain. Paul K, I believe, is the actor's name.
True.
I know
that was Nick.
No. I really liked Mark Benton as Tony, the dad, too. I thought their whole relationship was very touching. I cared about these characters. I thought everybody was cast really well. We get some really cool gore effects. I thought that opening snowman zombie from the from the trailer, I thought that whole bit was really cool. I think this one hit on all cylinders for me. I really, really enjoy it. I know it's popular, but I think this is one that will continue to grow over time into a pretty big cult classic. I love it. I absolutely love it, but I sense I'm there's probably somebody that does not. And I'm guessing I could be wrong. Kruger, did you not like this one?
No, like, all right, I'll explain. Like,
we got your video.
No, I know you got my video. We should have fucking clipped it. But so my whole thing is the music in this movie reminds me of fucking High School Musical, and I cannot stand High School Musical. It's the same fucking like type of tone when they're singing, and it was like right away I was turned off big time. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, get turn this shit into a horror movie already, because I'm ready to turn this motherfucker off. Luckily, when the zombies hit and the horror elements kick in, I started to get more interested. And, you know, I do like the characters and everything. Just the musical portion of the movie does take away a lot for me. I think maybe in future viewings, I could probably get over that at some point. But it's I'm not there yet. So I'll say that the music, I at the end of the movie, I was hoping that maybe there was another cut without all the music bullshit, because I really like the story a lot.
What's High School Musical?
High School Musical was this really shitty fucking Disney.
Dan's acting like you don't know that.
There's three of them, Dan. This is like the biggest thing between for like tweeners and shit.
Yeah, it was
Zac Efron and.
All right, I know what it is. I know what
Selena Gomez. Is that who it was?
Yeah,
one of those bitches.
I know what it is. Never mind.
Yeah, it was really fucking stupid, and all the kids were into it. And every time, like, it was like, have you ever seen the South Park parody of it?
Oh, fuck yeah. Where, like, people
were fucking singing it at the fucking, like, that was going on in my school, and I wanted to fucking bring a gun to school and kill them. So
don't do that, kids.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't listen to me. But yeah, they were really, it was.
He didn't
do
it.
But
thought is not a crime.
back to Anna and the Apocalypse, though. I did think the story was really good. It got pretty, you know, heartfelt and heart-wrenching even at times. And you really do care about the characters in this movie. And I think that's one of the best things, you know, about it. Also, the kills and gore were pretty well done. There's definitely some stuff I'll talk about in spoilers that I thought was really cool. And the gore effects were, you know, it was the way, you know, they're supposed to be. And also just like, I'll say probably my favorite part of this movie is just when the zombies first come into play, there's a musical number going on during that. And all this carnage is just happening. And, our main character's not noticing anything that's going on. That was probably my favorite scene out of the whole movie. And from there, I was like, okay, I'm over the music bullshit. a little bit at least. So overall, I did like it, but it didn't. I still think the music portions hurt the story for me, because that's where, you know, I was kind of looking at my phone. All right, when is this damn, you know, shit going to be over? But overall, I do like it, and I will watch it again. It's going to be in my Christmas rotation from now on. And like I said, maybe I'll get over that musical portion at some point.
See, I'm going to piggyback off you, because Dan, we had this same argument last year. I was indifferent about the music, and I said I liked it in spite of the music, because I do agree, like, it's a little High School Music-y, but I think I tolerated it a bit better than Krueger.
You weren't like, tapping your foot to Hollywood.
Oh my
ending.
God, no!
Hollywood Ending, come on, it's a good song.
No. You know the names of the songs. That's awesome, dude. Dan. I'm proud of you.
Breakaway, that was a good.
But
one.
You oh don't God. Have the guts to sing it here.
Dan always wanted to be on Broadway.
Sing. You don't have the jingle balls.
I can't.
So well, yeah,
I'm maybe I'll surprise you.
In spite of the music, I do really have fun with this movie. I've seen it a few times since. I mean, the music, I would say. I've never hated it, but I still don't love it.
Yeah.
The music. The movie overall, I do really, really like.
Well, for me, fucking, I missed it in the theater. Friend of the show, Evil Ed, said it's really good, but he was into musicals because his girlfriend was into musicals, and actually, I have a whole side story about Sound of Music. He never saw the whole thing when the flags dropped. He was shocked. he's not into him anymore. No, now he likes it. But anyway, so this got by me. This is actually my first time seeing it all the way through.
Oh wow!
Because I started to watch it, and I think I had to go somewhere. And the Shaun of the Dead thing, I was like, this bitch needs to buy a Diet Coke, or else this is bullshit. So that's the part where I left off. So everything after that was brand new to me. This is kind of wonderful. It goes super dark. I did not expect that for a musical. And like I should have, it's a zombie movie too. But there is like some heart in this about a daughter, father and daughter relationship. We have another Cooper situation. So Dan, I'm pretty sure you love the principal. Overall, yeah, it's highly enjoyable. I'm disappointed in myself that I waited this long to see the whole thing. Because now I like it. Even with the music. The music's not the best, but it is catchy as hell. So it does what it has to do. I like it a little heavier for me, but that's cool. Yeah, I was shocked. Although the runtime could have been cut down a little bit.
Well, this was we did watch the extended version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
which I can't remember the time difference off the top of my head.
It's not huge, but I don't know. I had no issue, but then again, I really liked the movie. I like the. I did agree with the principal for the
of
most part.
Of course, you did, pussy. No,
it's actually like 15 minutes longer, so you guys may prefer the theatrical cut. Okay.
Yeah, I want to say there was at least one other.
One extra musical number.
Yeah, and then there was a few little things with the dad, I believe, that I actually kind of liked.
Yeah, so it's like a mixture because you get a little bit more music, but you also get a little bit more character development. So,
did you laugh at the kind of pornographic Christmas song where the
oh my god, that was the
started
best.
Losing his shit.
Dude? What was funny is when she did the little fucking snow thing. I called out. I was like, "Oh, it looked like somebody just splooged in her face." And then she goes and talks about people splooging in her face. So,
best song of the movie.
Salacious filth. I love the principal.
Of course you do. Should have just listened to him. We know, Dan.
Hey, he had some sense to him.
Cowards.
It's always the old white guy Dan's listening to. Go figure.
It's not that old. Well, anyways. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, the beginning to end, I like this one quite a bit. I recognize it's not going to be for everybody.
You know what? If all of us here are like in the positive camp, it might be for everyone.
Yeah, I don't hate it for sure, and I do really like. Like I said, I really like the story. I just think the music isn't going to be for everybody, and I think you're right about that.
And another thing about the music, like Hollywood Ending, kind of foreshadows a lot of stuff. I mean, it makes sense. It all fits. It's not just random fluff pieces or anything. Yeah. So
I gotta save for spoilers. I'm just saying, when some people went, I was like, oh my God, no. So yeah, I really cared about these motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Hey, it was not light and fluffy, which I kind of expected this one to be, but you know, zombie Christmas musical, obviously I was gonna go no matter what. And
if this was an American film, it would have been softer, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It would be a very different movie. All right. Well, I guess we can rate this one. No surprise, I'm pretty high, but I am a 4.5. I'm going to be realistic. It may not be that classic for everybody, but I really enjoy it. And this is a yearly rotation flick for me, which I don't have a lot that I'm going to watch this movie this year, and this is one of them. So that says a lot. How about you, Kruger?
I am a 3.5 out of 5.
Cool, cool.
Pugs? I am a 4 out of 5.
Sweet.
And I am there with Pugs. I'm also a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, and my 3.5 is also, I think there's some room to grow when I do watch it again. So.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on to our next film, which is... a Christmas horror story. And this one is from directors Grant Harvey, Stephen Hoban, and Brett Sullivan. And it follows interwoven stories that take place on Christmas Eve as told by one festive radio host. A family brings home more than a Christmas tree. A student documentary becomes a living nightmare. And a Christmas spirit terrorizes. Santa slays evil. All right. So a Christmas horror story. I know we reviewed this one back in the day, way back in the day. But Kruger, that was before your time. So what did you think of A Christmas Horror Story?
Okay, so I've always loved this movie since it came out. I saw it, like, I think literally the week it came out on VOD back in like 2015. And I have to watch, this is one of the movies that I have to watch every single year during Christmas time. I just really, really adore everything about this. All the different stories I think are really cool. I'll like briefly go over them without spoiling anything because I have way more, a lot more to talk about in spoilers. But the whole student documentary segment I thought was just really well done with, you know, the lore behind the haunted Catholic school, the Christmas tree thing with the, you know, the family whose son miraculously goes missing and starts acting weird when they bring him home. That I thought that was really well done. There's a Krampus story in here that I'm fucking all about. This is probably my second favorite Krampus on screen that we've ever gotten. And the actor who plays him too, he's a great character actor. He also played the fat guy in Incident in the Ghostland. The really, really grotesque, creepy dude. He was awesome in that, and he's awesome in this. I love him to death. And he's like giant too. He's like 6'6", fucking 300-pound monster. And he played Krampus perfectly. And then last but not least, the Santa segment. I mean, Santa versus fucking elf zombies. It was fucking awesome. The twist we got at the end was great too. And this isn't a spoiler because it's on the cover, but we get Santa versus Krampus, and that's pretty fucking badass in my book. And it still holds up to the since the first time I saw it. So yeah, I absolutely love this movie.
When I saw that cover, I honestly thought it was just going to be a selling point. I'm like, there's no way they're going to have that, and it'd be that cool. I was wrong. That's your rule.
My favorite. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, dude.
I was just going to say my favorite quote is, I said I don't want a goddamn cookie, you reindeer fucking snow whore.
Yeah. Dude, I got the other one I liked was, I'll break that staff in your rosy cheeked ass, you Christmas cunt.
Yeah, and the elves were so good. Shout out to George Buzza as Santa, who we talked about recently on Fear Itself, the werewolf episode. He's played Santa in regular movies as well. But what did you think, Pugs?
it's a blast. Like, when it first came out, like I said earlier, like, there's no way it's going to live up to this cover. It does. It's exactly what you expect it to be and a little better. Yeah, all the stories fits and they they're interwoven. It's like the Christmas version of Trick or Treat. So I dig it. Highly recommend. Nothing but positive shit. What about you, Dan?
For me, so I love this movie as well. William Shatner is dangerous. Yeah. He was great. It's always nice to see him, you know, do something different. And
His character in this was actually really good. Unlike some other shit, I've seen him do some horrible roles, but this was perfect. All he needed to do was get drunk and drink eggnog.
Every once in a while, I'll see him in something. I'm thinking, like, man, you made like $100 million on that Priceline stuff. Why are you in this piece of shit? Like, you don't need the money.
You can never have enough, Dan. And you don't know, he may be a gambler.
He likes to work. You know, I think that's all it is, really.
Fuck, he's almost 100, right?
He's 90. And he went to fucking space. How awesome is that?
Finally, a good Star Trek actor.
Dude, George Takei was fucking with him, though.
It was funny.
He was are you sure you're not going to get a blood clot going up there? You seem very overweight.
It was kind of funny. He came back at him this time, though, which I thought was amusing, because normally Shatner kind of ignores
him. It's a great feud. I love it.
Yeah. I've got some jokes, but I'm not. So I have one. Not a major issue. I just always thought the documentary segment didn't fit it as well. It's a good story, but I don't know. It's not like a Christmas story to me. It just felt kind of, just kind of out of place, but it's not bad.
I mean, it involves a baby, baby Jesus.
There you go. Yeah, you can make a case for it. I don't know. It was the weakest segment for me, but it's not a weak segment. Yeah, I guess some people could maybe have issues because it does jump back and forth between the stories. It's not like, oh, here's one story, then it ends, then we go to the next one. But I don't know. It didn't bother me too much this time. There's a couple cases where I felt like it hurt the momentum a little bit, but minor complaints for the most part, because the twist is fantastic. It made me laugh without just becoming a full-on parody. And it's interesting because that twist, it was like, oh, wow, okay. Well, this was a fun, light segment, but now it's going pretty hard, which I kind of like that. I really don't have a whole lot to say bad about this. This one just works from top to bottom. This is another one that I think has become a yearly rotation flick. Again, a lot of people will say that, but for me, there's not a lot that I revisit. That's not a massive list. Like, I have to watch it. You've got Jack Frost, Santa's Sleigh is one that always puts me in the holiday spirit, and Anna and the Apocalypse. We got two tonight. Christmas
Horror. Santa, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Asshole.
Yes, although I can't say every Christmas necessarily.
Well, you're a fucking idiot then.
I probably missed a Christmas or two. Christmas Evil, usually.
Christmas Evil.
Black Christmas is not in the regular rotation?
Oh, Dana only does the new one, though.
Now?
No, not now. I will say, I do kind of feel like watching the first remake again.
Oh, my God. I have to watch every year.
That's a yearly rotation.
Nothing oozes more Christmas than the look of that movie. Nothing.
I agree. I really hope that, if nothing else, the 2019 makes more people revisit that one, because it just got a bad rap. Same thing as House of Wax. Like, people shit on it, I think, because of Paris Hilton. I'm like, you know, it's actually a pretty good slash.
Well, the first thing the Black Xmas needs to do is get on digital so people can actually rent or buy it.
Yeah, I'd like to see
a Blu-ray. Yeah, I'm still waiting on that, too. Well, besides the Canadian one.
We need a proper new Blu-ray for that.
Yeah, I'm surprised Scream Factory hasn't picked that up.
It's a Weinstein title.
Oh,
yeah, okay, that makes some sense. Issues. But yeah, no, man. What is not in this movie that you don't absolutely love? It's something for everybody, and I love it. How about you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. This is another one. This is one I don't watch every year, but I do like it quite a bit. It's I'm not going to shit on another movie. This feels more like a follow-up to Trick or Treat than it does the actual follow-up. which we will be talking this year. I'm giving it another shot with the naughty cut.
Follow-up. It's not...
It's his follow-up feature. I don't mean a sequel.
Oh, right? Okay.
I don't know what we're hinting at, but I'm excited.
You do, if you really think.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant follow-up to Christmas Horror Story. Oh, you're crazy, Todd.
But yeah, no, I do love this one. And I might need to throw this on my annual rotation. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and we do want to say, as of this recording, it is available to stream on Shudder.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, check it out. But I'm pretty comfortable if you are a collector of physical media. It's not an expensive Blu-ray. I don't think you guys will regret it if you haven't seen it yet. So, all right. Are we ready to rate this one?
Yep.
Let's do it. Yep.
What say you, Kruger?
I am a 4.5 out of 5. I absolutely love this movie. I do agree with you, though, Dan. I think if this would have been traditional anthology style, it would have flowed better. And that's probably why I can't give it the 5 out of 5 rating, because it does skip around a lot and hurt a little bit of the momentum, like you said. Yeah. But what about you, Pugs?
I am a 4.5 as well out of 5. I like it a lot.
4.5? Yeah, there's not a lot. I really don't have a lot of major criticisms except for what I said, but I think it's a great film. How about you, Todd?
I'm a 4, but I do really like it.
Cool. All right. So we're off to a really good start tonight. I thought...
Yeah, but that means we're going to fucking battle at the end, so... Stay tuned.
That's true. All right, so our next film, which is one of those titles you hear about that people really want on DVD, not just Blu-ray. Yeah, this one has not even had an official DVD release.
You got to search for it if you guys want to see it. I'll just say that now.
Yeah. Yes, you do have to search for this one. And that is the 1989 film from director Jeff Quitney, Iced. And in this one, a group of childhood friends are invited to the opening of a posh ski resort, unaware that an old nemesis has murderous plans in mind for them. All right. So this one stars Deborah DeLisso, who played Kim in Slumber Party Massacre. I always really liked her. And also Lisa Loring, the OG Wednesday Addams, which is... I'm just going to say this right off the bat. That's essentially the highlight of this movie because, we get naked, grown-up Wednesday Addams, which is – I think that's what this movie's known for. Like, I've had, like, multiple people ask me over the years, like, you know, remember that ski slasher where Wednesday gets naked? And I was like, yeah, Iced. That's what you're thinking of. Is this one a kind of a lost gem? No, it's not very good. I've never thought particularly highly of this one. It's a bit of a slog. The things kind of pick up a little bit in the third act, but it's the acting's terrible. To be perfectly honest, this one's particularly bad, poorly acted. The pacing is just not there. All the characters are annoying. it really just makes me want to watch Hot Dog the movie.
is a classic. Thought you were going to say Shredder, but
oh well, Shredder too. It's not very good. Now, I mean, there is some fun to be had if you can hang with it a little bit. It kind of It's one of those movies that's like, it doesn't give us a whole lot in the way of gore, so they give us a lot of skin. I want to say I heard I don't know if Lisa Loring herself said this, but I had heard like that there were some regrets with this movie. And, you know, it's kind of easy to see. It's not scary. It's not suspenseful. It's one... Yeah, maybe sit around with some friends and some beers to enhance the experience because it, yeah, I don't know. I've watched it at least three or four times over the years, and it, I can't say it's particularly grown on me, but hey, Lisa Loring looks great. What say you, Kruger?
Yeah, I fucking didn't like this piece of shit at all. The characters just, I don't know, they fucking all sucked, in my opinion, and I just wanted to see them get brutally murdered. And unfortunately, our killer really doesn't do the best job, nor is he, you know, anything special. He's pretty fucking basic. And
they ordered him off Wish, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the look, I guess, was okay, but outside of that, I mean, he's lackluster as fuck. The story just from the get-go just felt so run-of-the-mill. And more times than not, I'm just waiting around for some kills to happen. And they, like, really, like, there's maybe two kills that happen in the beginning of the movie, and then, like, literally nothing fucking happens until the last 20 minutes. And then, you know, everybody gets killed. But none of the kills were worthwhile or, you know, worth sitting through all the fucking bullshit.
A lot of off-screen. Yeah, a lot of off-screen in this one.
And the final act is so fucking predictable. I was so annoyed, man. Like, I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? You couldn't have did something better than that after all the bullshit you already made me watch. Fuck this movie. So overall, yeah, this shit sucks ass. Shredder blows this movie out of the water. So if you need a good skiing slasher in the snow, go watch Shredder. Don't give this the time of day. And I really hope that no fucking boutique labels end up picking this up one day, putting a really cool cover on it, and then stealing everybody's money again. Because I felt that with Death Screams. And yeah, I'm not fucking about to do that again.
This one does have Code Red announced it. I wouldn't say the cover's really cool, but it's been announced by Code Red for a long while.
Yeah, but didn't they announce it like 8 years ago or something?
No, well, because it wasn't that long ago, but I know with the health issues of Bill.
Oh, okay, so it's just in limbo. All right. Yeah, you're not missing much, guys. You're really not. But, well, hey, that's just Kruger and I. How about you, Pugs? Did you like Geist?
Count me in with all you guys because I don't think it's that great. However, I do think the outfit of the killer is better than the one in Shredder. I kind of wish they would have switched and then Shredder would be extra fucking cool. but yeah, this one is just, I was kind of checking in and out. I'm like, is anything happening that I care about? It's a cool setting, but overall, I was just like, I was clock watching. Like, this needs to fucking hurry up. So, and also, not very Christmassy to me.
No.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah. Kind of a miss.
Yeah, it was a lot of clock watching. And Dan, if I want to see Wednesday Addams naked, I'm watching Black Snake Moan, not this.
This is the OG Wednesday.
Dang, you're right.
I agree. Black Snake Moan, nobody saw that goddamn movie at first, and it's so fucking good. Go out and see Black Snake Moan.
I used to play it on, like, Stars all the time. I remember I used to watch it, like, every time it was on.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson, dude, is the shit in that motherfucker.
Now I want to watch it. But, yeah, I'd rather talk about that than Ice. Ice isn't very good, but you know what? If it comes out on Blu-ray, I'll fucking buy it. Just
that VHS cover we just showed, that looks cool. I like that a lot.
That's actually on the back cover. That's actually the UK cover.
I thought it was VHS because of CBS Fox.
Well, no, it is, but it's the well, it was distributed by the CBS Fox UK division. I can't remember who put it out here, but it had a different cover. I think it was Prism.
But I think Kruger nailed it when they're gonna like just blindside these poor fucking collectors.
Dude, that screams was like some shit because everybody was just hyping it up, and like when I finally watched it, I was like, "You gotta be fucking kidding me! This is what you guys are so fucking excited about." It's the cover,
dude.
I'm telling you, cover. I'm an idiot like other people too. I fucking do the same shit. If something has a really cool cover art, there's some times where I'll just be like, fuck it. I'll go on a whim and fucking, you know, check it out. But
you would have been so mad in the 80s.
I'm pretty sure like I had picked up a few movies back in the day from Hollywood Video that just had cool DVD covers. And I was like, yeah.
Sick. Serial Insane Clown Killer.
Yes.
Dude, I picked that movie up when I worked at Blockbuster, and my supervisor, he's like, "You sure you want to do that?" I was like, "It says serial insane clown killer. Of course I do. The next day, I was like, fuck my life.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that one, too.
I'm glad Lionsgate kept that tradition alive from the 80s of putting the great covers on pieces of shit. Thank you, Lionsgate.
There are some real pieces of shit there. But also gems. A lot of great stuff came out from them, too. I might pick up Iced on Blu-ray just to see the Lisa Loring's boobs in HD. That's about it. On that note, let's go ahead and rate it. I give this one, like I said, it picks up a little towards the end. It's too little too late, but I got to give it at least one star strictly for nude Lisa Loring. And that's it. And I'm not going to lie. That's the only goddamn reason. Kruger, what say you?
I am a half star. So a half star out of five.
Half star for Lisa Loring's boobs. How about you, Pugs?
I wish we can give it like a 75% star. But no, I'll be generous. It's a one star.
Okay.
I'm being generous though. So take that with a fucking grain of salt.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. I'm a one star too.
Cool, cool. All right. So moving on to our final movie of the evening, which is a 2011 film called A Cadaver Christmas from director Joe Zarrull. And in this one, united by terrifying and bizarre circumstances, the janitor, the drunk, the bartender, the cop, his perp, and the student security guard must fight to undo the professor's work. A dark force is at work in the cadaver lab this Christmas, and this unconventional band of heroes are the only hope the world has against an army of living corpses. All right. So I remember being really excited about this one, the original DVD art. I think actually getting it from Level 33 Entertainment, which I believe was the company, and really being excited because I had heard some really good things. Unfortunately, I think that it might have been from some like horror society type sources that kind of hyped it up a little bit too much because I don't know. I still don't like it. I revisited this one again.
I thought that you would like this one.
Yeah,
it's very low budget, and
it's very Dan. Also,
I'm shocked right now too. So
the humor, it's tough. The humor just didn't really connect with me. I didn't like the lead. It was kind of like doing some sort of mix of Bruce Campbell and DJ Qualls.
You know, exactly like Squeak from Orgasmo. That's who he reminds me of the whole time.
Yeah, he's not as good.
No one's as good as Squeak, but.
Met him at a Rob Zombie Jimmy Kimmel show. I was like, nice. Little bitch.
There was another movie around the same time about a janitor and zombies called Stalled that I actually like quite a bit. Check that one out, guys. It's actually a lot better than the cover art would indicate. But I don't know. It's not a horrible film. Again, this is a very small. Everybody do it yourself, kind of pitch in on the makeup if you're not doing something sort of thing. And there is a little bit of a charm there, but I never really laughed at this one. It didn't
go full R word.
Maybe that's, I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe it needed, maybe it was uneven. The humor was very uneven for me because like at one point we're getting like a juicy corpse fucking and I was like, this doesn't quite fit with the tone of the rest of the movie for me. I don't know. This was just one for a comedy. I can't say I laughed much at all, and maybe that's just me because again, this has some people that actually really like it out there. I just think this one's overrated, and I don't know, this one just didn't work for me, but
flabbergasted, dude.
I'm surprised. See, I don't know. See, again, it's like
I'm shocked that you don't like it. I won't be surprised if anybody else doesn't like it. It's you, Mr. Bikini Bloodbath.
Yeah. Oh, Bikini Bloodbath's hilarious.
Jesus.
Yeah. And the credibility is lost.
So I thought this had a really good soundtrack that added to the mood of the movie really well. And I did dig the over-the-top characters. Like, I did like the janitor and the bartender, too. I thought it was pretty fun. And so, same thing with the dumbass drunk dude. Like, he had a couple of moments that made me laugh. The story dragged pretty heavily for me in the beginning. And it took a while for me to really get into it. But the last 40 minutes did turn it around for me, you know, quite a bit. Especially when we started to, you know, see these hordes of zombies get massacred. The zombies themselves, or I guess cadavers, you would call them, they weren't really anything special. But the various creative ways we got to see them get killed, along with, you know, some gore effects that, you know, they are very low budget, but I thought looked pretty, you know, fairly good. That made up for, you know, the fact that these cadavers are just normal people with, you know, some red contacts and a couple squirts of blood on top of them. The ending did leave me kind of disappointed, though. I wanted a little bit more and was hoping for something, you know, stronger. But I didn't think this was a bad watch. I'm not going to be clamoring to rewatch this anytime soon. But I'd say if you're super into zombie movies and you like low budget zombie movies, and you need a decent Christmas-themed one, check this out. Maybe a good warm-up before Anna and the Apocalypse, which is a way better zombie Christmas movie.
True. But this one has necrophilia, and I'm all about that. So it's going to get a bit of a higher rating for me. But this movie is exactly what the cover is. It's low budget. But you can see every dollar they spent on screen. Actually, the cover does look a little better.
the effects are practical, which I'll give them that. There's no CG blood.
Yeah, so. you can tell they didn't have that much money, but like they put every penny on the screen, and the gore effects were pretty cool. It's, as a whole, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I did check out a little bit because there's a few moments where it drags, but I came right back in at the end and I had a great time. So, maybe great is a little strong of a word. I had a really good time.
The story drags quite a bit. There's a certain point where it's like, okay, guys, you can go to the finish.
I think it's literally the first 40 minutes. I was like, let's go. But the last 40 minutes, like, I was like, okay, well, at least shit's interesting now enough to where I want to pay attention.
Yeah. That's Ryland. What about you?
Well, it should come to no surprise. I actually really like this one.
Yeah,
it is very traumatic.
Yeah.
See, I don't think so. I didn't feel like the necrophilia, sure, but the rest of it didn't feel
the drunk dude felt very trauma to me.
The humor, yeah.
Yeah.
But that said, yeah, I did. It does drag in the beginning, yeah, but I do like the characters. And it's dumb fun. You guys mentioned the last half is very, very entertaining, which, you know, picks it up for the first half. You can get the DVD pretty dirt cheap. Horror Pack put out a Blu-ray recently, last month. So if you can find that on eBay. I think it's a fun Christmas watch. I do like it. This may not be every year, but it's more of an every other.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and rate it. It just didn't work for me. It really didn't. This one just I never really laughed. And I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you on it feeling like a trauma movie. Maybe bits and
you
pieces.
Don't agree with my opinion. Sorry.
I can't consider it a trauma movie. I don't know.
I didn't consider it a trauma movie either.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
Definitely inspired. You can see the inspiration there. I mean, alone from other trauma zombie movies.
Sure. No, I get it. Like I said, this is one you guys may have to see for yourself and let us know what camp you're on in the comments, which we always encourage.
And I'm pretty sure, and I'm confirming now, that it's on Tubi.
Everything's on Tubi. I love Tubi. Make sure you guys watch PJs.
Yeah, check it out there if you can before you drop like $25 for a Blu-ray.
You know, well, the DVD is cheap. Yeah, it is on Tubi.
Yeah, you know what's the thing that makes me mad about Tubi, though? Is like they're the one subscription service that I would actually pay for to get rid of fucking ads, and I don't have that option, and it makes me mad. But I love their library, like just because that I got to see so many like low budget horror movies that I would never think about watching, but because they were free and I needed to kill some time, I checked it out and had a good time. So yeah, I love
and they know where to drop in the damn commercials, unlike or the advertisements, unlike fucking Voodoo.
And they always put on their films up on Tubi too, so I get to watch them before I buy them, which is always nice.
I won't watch anything for free on Voodoo again unless I had no other choice. It's just those commercials, the way they do it kills it. But I'm one star on this. It just I didn't like it. I still don't. Sorry, but what say you, Kruger?
I am a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I am also a 2.5 out of 5.
I am a 3.5 out of 5.
Hey, right on. So.
All right.
Necrophilia.
So, you know, I think it's still going to make this pretty easy, though. Okay, so tonight we have up for elimination. We have End of the Apocalypse, A Christmas Horror Story, A Cadaver Christmas, and Iced.
I think two of those are pretty safe.
Well, I think three are, actually, if you go to the numbers. Kruger, what are you getting rid of?
Iced gets iced. Fuck that shit.
Iced gotta go.
Well, man. I will get rid of A Cadaver Christmas because that did not have Wednesday Addams titties.
And luckily, it doesn't matter what Dan thinks, because I'm getting rid of ice, too.
That argument is valid, though. I will say.
I'm not gonna die on that mound or anything like that. But all right. First casualty of the holiday season.
Iced. I kind of thought that.
Yeah, Wednesday Addams gets fucking the shit kicked out of her by Krampus. And it's the fuck out of here.
They'll get it out before you end up on ice. So, yeah.
Dan, why don't you go ahead and tell everyone where they can, you know, hard sell everything before we go to spoilers.
Yes. So, fleshwoundfeatures.com, where you can, or links to our Teespring store and links to everything, where you can get official Christmas cruelty merchandise, including for you watching on YouTube, that awesome I Want to Ride the Fire Truck shirt. If you've seen the movie, you know you know what's going on there. Even if you didn't, I still think that's a pretty awesome shirt. Wear it to church.
You can also get stickers, too.
Stickers?
I have one. Uh-oh. Kruger's going to bust out the sticker.
Right at the corner.
There we go. Yeah. Fuck
yeah.
Nice. So, yeah, get all your Christmas cruelty merchandise there. And also patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. It all starts at just $1, and we have early, exclusive, uncensored material on there that I think you guys will like quite a bit. We're on a very active Discord. Check us out there. Horror Cartel, Flesh Wound Radio Facebook group, and we're Flesh Wound Radio on Twitter, and you can also follow us separately as well.
All right. On that note, if you don't want to hear spoilers, you better get the hell out of here. If not, here we go. It's spoiler time.
But come back after.
Oh, yeah. Come back after.
All right. So where do we want to start here? Anna and the Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
Sure. Yeah, I really like that it same thing. No such thing as a Hollywood ending. And they kind of stuck to that. It made you feel. I agree. I think this movie would have been just forgettable fluff if it were an American production. Could easily see them like, nah, it's still a Christmas movie. Let's have them get together at the end and everybody's happy. And I'm glad they didn't do that. but I keep watching. Actually, this movie made a big impression. I keep looking up all the cast and seeing what they're up to now. I hope that they can break out. Sarah Swire as well, who played Steph, I thought she was
really, she did really good. Really good job. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I did think was kind of a missed opportunity, though. I would have liked to see Anna's mom come back to life and fuck with her. That would have been cool.
Oh,
that would have been really fucking dark.
Actually, yeah, let's get that sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that would have been like just over the top dark, you know, just to make it darker. But one kill in this movie I actually did really like, and it's, I don't know if it was an homage to Gutterballs or not, but it's the same kill in the movie where homeboy grabbed two bowling balls and clapped them against a zombie's skull that exploded its brain. That was pretty fucking badass and definitely a highlight in the movie for me.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I got to say, when homeboy got bit, the guy who likes Anna, I was like, no, we were getting out of the friend zone, my friend. Fuck.
Dude. Todd, did you pop for that one zombie sexually assaulting Steph?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I popped too. I was like, oh, that's fucking great. Just kept grabbing her titties.
Fuck yeah. But yeah, Dan, you're the principal, man. Like, fuck that guy.
He was so good. He was tired of everybody's shit. I actually thought he might have.
This tells me if we're ever locked in a zombie apocalypse situation, shoot Dan in the head immediately.
You're not.
That's all it tells me.
I'm not wasting a bullet. He's going to get strangled. Sorry, Dan.
not getting strangled.
Dan, you brought it up earlier too. The snowman zombie was fucking awesome. And I love the way Anna decapitated it with the seesaw. That was the shit. Definitely the kills in this movie alone like were making me cheer out loud. So I couldn't hate it.
No, I'm glad you got some enjoyment out of it because I don't know. I do really like this one. It's
well, that clip you sent Krueger early on, I was like, that it's just starting. Hold on.
Well, dude, it was the first High School Musical song, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Because like I'm not opposed to musicals, but not in that style, man. Nope. Like
not like Pugs and Little Shop of Horrors.
We'll have that discussion at some other time. <We're>
Did you just say Little Shop of Horrors?
No.
That sure as hell sounded like what you said.
But there is a porn parody. Whores, whores.
There's the whores have eyes.
Yes, I know. I have the Blu-ray. Thank you.
I do too.
Fucking, I'm sorry. I ate your mother is like the porn parody for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Please don't eat my mother.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Please don't eat my mother.
Great film. Go back and look at it.
Bring me a sandwich so I can eat on a bench.
Where's our vinegar cinder release?
I Agfa. Keep an eye out. I could easily see them.
Oh, yeah. That out. All right. Well, do we have any? Before we.
Christmas Horror Story?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Big time. Yeah. So. I just loved the fucking ending with the student documentary segment with the, you know, the ghost holding her dead baby and that whole imagery of, you know, the nuns, you know, delivering her baby and looking all creepy and scary. I thought that was badass. Also, her possessing, I think her name was Molly. And there was a little detail. I don't know if you guys noticed or if I'm just a fucking complete pervert, but did you notice Molly was a virgin and how she was bleeding on her dress?
I did not, but
that was a nice little attention to detail that I saw there. I was like, oh shit. And my girl actually noticed it. She's like, oh, she's a virgin. I'm like, what? She's like, look at her dress. It's covered in blood. I'm like, oh shit. So
Rocco's is pretty approved.
I thought that was really cool. And I also liked that one kill we got on that dude Dylan that got the crucifix into his face. Thought that was pretty badass. For the Christmas tree family changeling segment, before I go, do you guys got anything on that?
No.
I just thought it was really cool how, you know, the kids change. Like, we all know as the audience that some shit's going to hit the fan, but we're not sure when. And, you know, right away, this kid fucking stabs his dad with a fork. I'm like, oh, this motherfucker would have got shot, put it across the room so quick. And, you know, I wasn't expecting the dad to actually get killed in the story. I thought, you know, he was going to end up being the hero of the story. So it was kind of a cool 180 where they gave it to the mom. And also just, I thought the whole dynamic where the kid's acting pervy to his own mom was, you know, that was pretty fucking cool too. And the reveal at the oh, go ahead, Bucks.
Oh no, I just said Oedipus. Go for it.
And the reveal at the end when we saw, you know, what the troll, changeling, whatever the fuck they're called, monsters looked like. I thought that was pretty cool, and how they let the mom go and let the kid go because she killed the guy that was fucking with him. I thought that was a nice little twist at the end there too.
Yeah. The fights.
Yeah. And so then moving on to the Christmas spirit segment, I just like the whole the family constantly, you know, bickering and trying to get along for Christmas. And then we end up finding out they're all pieces of shit. And, you know, the kid's a fucking, you know, animal murderer. The dad fucking spent all the money and is, you know, going to go to jail. And he made this Christmas one last chance to get out of financial debt. I thought that was cool. I already talked about how much I love the Krampus in it. And I actually really liked the first brief reveal we got of the Krampus walking across the road, because it reminded me of the Pattinson Giblin Bigfoot footage. And like the way he was walking, I feel like that was a, you know, purposely done. And if it was, fucking awesome, because I caught that. And yeah, I also just like the imagery of, you know, these fucking chains coming out of the woods and snatching the kid up and, you know, hitting the dad, and the dad getting dragged through the church by the chains from Krampus was just really cool. And yeah, love this segment a lot. And I love the twist at the end too, where, you know, you find out Krampus can possess people, and he possessed a granddaughter now to get revenge on, you know, the evil aunt or whatever the fuck she was. That was pretty cool. And also, guy from Anything for Jackson was in this, and I didn't realize that until the
Julian Richings. Yeah,
that was cool. So it was good to see him. You guys got anything else on that one?
No, but just see it.
Yeah,
that Anything for Jackson guy, that guy can play the anything. He's deaf and Supernatural. That guy fucking creepy.
It's nice seeing him more and more now in featured roles. Yeah, Spare Parts he was just in. Yeah, he's a good guy.
That Santa and Krampus fight though, all about it.
Oh yeah, dude, the Santa segment I thought was awesome. And you know, yeah, their battle, it was everything I wanted it to be. And I liked like the creepiness where you're kind of like, what the fuck is going on? And Krampus starting to talk like a human being and shit, and then you realize, oh, the big reveal, this is all in some crazy fucker's head.
He's a loon.
It's the crazy fucker from William Shatner's fucking radio show place. And, you know, he's going on a massacre dressed up as Santa in the mall. Just that was an awesome little twist, because you realize that all these cool kills the Santa Claus has been doing on these elves has been on fucking innocent people just shopping for Christmas. So, yeah, great twist.
And Grace last choice of weapon, but that little girl with the scissors, see inside. That's how you do it. Yeah.
All right. Anyone have anything for Iced?
Nah.
Lisa Loring's boobs. That's all it needs to be said.
A cadaver Christmas.
I don't.
Are we there? Was just there.
There was a kill where this zombie fucking fell head first on the plunger, and it just made me laugh my ass off, because it was so random. There was this plunger stuck in the middle of the floor, and he fucking trips over somebody and, you know, impales his fucking forehead on it. That was great. I also liked the kill on the bartender where he got stabbed in the neck with the classroom desk. I've always fantasized about doing that to my teachers in school. So fucking, that was cool to see that.
Don't do it, kids.
Yeah. Don't listen to crazy Uncle Mike.
Yeah, don't be Uncle Kruger.
Also, there was a kill.
You make that a shirt, by the way.
There was a kill where the zombie got a whole Christmas tree just shoved through its fucking torso. And I was like, nothing screams Christmas horror better than that. So that made me pop too.
Fuck yeah. I got nothing else. If
That's all I got.
All right. Well,
guys, be sure to keep tuning in. We'll see who is our final elf this year. It's going to be tough. I think we had some tough ones for Slashtober, and I think this is going to be just as difficult. I don't think there'll be a harmony for everything. So we'll see ya.
I hope not.
We'll get some fights.
It'll get interesting as we move, I think. There's going to be the Krampus show.
Until there's some unstoppable juggernaut like Bikini Bloodbath Christmas that's going to slay everything. But
I think this is as close as we had to Bikini Bloodbath Christmas.
All right, guys. Stay tuned. Don't miss an episode and catch all of our great content throughout December. Good night. Ho, 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 bitches.
Stop my line.
I know what the fuck.
Well, that's not the exact line.
It's still close enough.
Go ahead.
Merry motherfucking Christmas and a ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, motherfuckers.
Bah humbug. I'll see you in Disneyland.